In preparation for this sermon, I expanded my vocabulary. The title of this is Zechariah, From Incredulous to Submissive. Incredulity is such a fun word, but it means the unwillingness or the inability to believe. And it seems like this is the question of our day. Are you able to believe? And certainly, it's this incredulity of our society, of our culture, is used in the political realm. Somebody says something, and I don't know about your personal experience, but man, all sorts of really rational things can be said, and it'll just go, I don't know yet. I have to do some study about that simple statement you just made, because I don't know if I can believe it. I'm incredulous. I don't know if that's who we are supposed to be as people. And of course, in the season of Christmas, anybody seen the Polar Express, the movie? I mean, that's believe. There seems to be a whole effort around Christmas to just believe. And I think, one, it has something to do with the Christmas story. There is a lot to the nativity that if you look at it, you think, did that really happen? And I know a lot of us struggle with that part of Scripture. I said, well, okay, so the virgin birth and the star that came, all that. I mean, this is a pretty fantastical story. It's an amazing story. Some of us suffer from incredulity, that story. And yet, even in the season, in the Hallmark arena of the world, we want to believe. We're encouraged to just to let go and believe. There's another movie that comes to mind. And of course, I have not watched it for a whole year, but it's A Miracle on 34th Street, right? You know, it's the department store Santa Claus, and he's had one too many, and then this guy named Kris Kringle comes in, and he's the best department store Santa Claus ever. And as the story goes, he's doing amazing things, and people start wondering, is he the real Santa? And at the end, there's a court scene, and really it comes down to, either this guy's crazy, we should put him away, or he's not crazy, and there's a real Santa. And of course, the implied question is, you need to believe. Just believe. Let him be Santa. It's going to be okay. And that's a passive kind of belief, really. The people on 34th Street don't actually have to do anything other than let him do his thing. And of course, I'm sure in New York City, there's lots of people that you have to let them do their thing. But in this case, there's just believe, just let it go. I don't think that's helpful for all of us, because some of us, and I think for Zechariah, it is not unwillingness, it's inability to believe. It is a hard thing to do. And we have to unwork some of the scars and the bitterness in our hearts in order to believe. And just say, oh, just believe, and put a sign on our wall doesn't cut it for some of us. We have to do some interior work. How do we do that? So the title of the sermon today is Incredulous to Submission. And my submission to you is that it is being submissive to the will of God allows us to believe. So here we are. Let's get into the story. We have Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth are incredible people. They have a resume that is impressive. Zechariah went to the Yale School of Priesthood. Elizabeth is the daughter of the president of Princeton. I mean, these are impeccable resume. Also, they're righteous. Also, they're blameless. Also, they do everything to God's commandments and regulations of the Lord. I mean, these people are incredible, incredible people. Everybody loves them. But they don't have children. Many things in the Bible, we have to work really hard to try to make them relevant. We try to get them to translate into our world. This, not so much. It is still a pain for many people in our time not having children. Zechariah felt that pain. Certainly Elizabeth did too. And so one day, as he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, what that means is, per se, if you were to go to the sign-up table and find the sign-up sheet that says, I'm going to do snow duty for the church around here, you take a week out of the snow season, and I'll just promise to be on call to shovel the walks. That's what Zechariah was doing. He is available. He is away from his home in the temple and working, doing what needs to be done. Because he's on duty. So he was in Jerusalem, and he's chosen by lot. And what that means is, you know, he was just chosen, not necessarily randomly. I think we chosen by lot because it's God has picked you. The lots are allowing God to be free to pick rather than any other way. But this is almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah. He's chosen to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. This is once a year, once in a lifetime, he has this honor. And it makes sense because he is blameless, he is righteous, all these great things. So he gets this honor. And he walks in to the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. He's burning incense. He's supposed to pray for the nation of Israel. And he sneaks in a prayer of his own. How do we know this? Because when Zechariah is presented to this angel. It's interesting to note, angel Gabriel shows up, and Zechariah, he's scared. Sorry, here we go. See the knees knocking? He's scared. Did you note that Mary, when Gabriel came to Mary, she wasn't scared? Interesting note. But Zechariah is about ready to fall over, and Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been answered." Ooh. Zechariah is praying this prayer. What is it? Dear Lord, give me a son. Give me a child. Any family. Now that's an interesting prayer. Because this is a prayer that it shouldn't happen. He's old. His wife is getting along in years. This isn't going to happen naturally. This is probably one of those prayers that is the deep desire of his heart that he knows that time has passed. And yet he prays it. Do you have a desire like that? Something you wish, an opportunity you wish you could have taken? An event in your life that you wish hadn't happened? And ever since, every day, every opportunity you've prayed to God about that, but it's been so long that now you're just praying. It's just part of the routine. I think Zechariah was there. It's just been too long. He's prayed so hard for a family, for a child, that he offers this prayer in the Holy of Holies, the very center, the presence of God, and he doesn't really think it's going to be answered. And then it is. Gabriel says, you are going to have a child. Sorry, let me reread that. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. Let's be exact here. And you will name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Okay, that sounds great. That's pretty normal right there. We're going to have a kid. That's great. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he must never drink wine or strong drink. And even before his birth, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Okay. So this child is going to be somebody significant in the nation of Israel, in the faith. Wow. So not only is Zechariah's prayer to have a child going to be met, but his prayer for the nation of Israel, his people, his faith, this child's going to have significant impact. And this fellow, he wasn't just somebody who was, you know, who read the news once in a while. He was a priest. He saw all the political machinations and all the stuff. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots, all these people trying to vying for power, trying to figure out what's the best way to make the temple work and to preserve the Jewish people. He sees that. That other desire is for his people, his place, his community to be blessed and to grow. So this is a double blessing. This child that you have been praying for, this child of promise, is going to be a great fellow. And then Gabriel continues, he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him and turn the hearts. And that phrase, turn the hearts, is one that I know just sort of, whoa, lit up Zechariah, because it is the story of Elijah. He's on the Mount Carmel. And it is the battle, that fantastic story of the god Baal with one altar and then the one true God with the other altar. And hey, if Baal's the real God, he's going to send lightning down, fire down from heaven and burn up that offering. And of course, they couldn't do it, so God burned up that offering and proved that God was a God in Israel. But it's that phrase, and God is turning the hearts of his people back to him. That's the Elijah phrase. So Zechariah is hooked. Wow. God is giving everything he's ever wanted. And then what does he say? How will I know that this is so? For I'm old and my wife is getting on in years. There's been a lot of debate as to the difference between this statement and the one Mary made to Gabriel. Mary questions him too. Almost the same way. How can this be? Don't have a husband. I have not had any relations with a man. This is different. And it's different because of the way Gabriel responds. It's different because what Zechariah has been here, have been through. It might have been just too much time. Too much time praying, too much time desiring a child. It might have just been too much bitterness. I'm blameless, I'm righteous. Lord, why do I not have a child? Some of us have things like that. Things that we're just stuck. I can't believe in the goodness of God because of this. I'm incredulous. I am stuck. How do you get unstuck? Gabriel's answer, I like to read this with a little bit of energy. How can this be so? I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. That's how it can be so. But even that, we hear the story of Christmas. We hear this magnificent thing. God, where are you? Right here. I hope you see the significance. This is the nativity scene and the cross. God is right here. How do we get unstuck? And the answer is submission. And we find it in three ways in Zechariah's life. First, immediately, you're going to not speak for at least 9 months. That'd be pretty tough for most of us, really. Whoop, you cannot speak. That's a pretty clear act of submission. Oh, wow. Now people have to speak for him. And if you see very clearly at the end of this reading, Elizabeth speaks for him. And then the second act of submission. Embarrassingly enough, Zechariah has to be a husband to Elizabeth. That's how this whole thing is going to work. Gabriel says, Elizabeth's going to bear you a child. Can you see? I mean, this is a little embarrassing to say in a sanctuary, but he has to buy into this. And thirdly, he has to name his son John. There's things he has to submit to, things he has to do. But that's a fascinating thing that's happening to his heart. Through acts of submission to God's will, his heart is being healed. It is not just belief. He can believe all he wants, but his incredulity, however you pronounce that, gets him stuck. And submission unworks it. I'll leave you with one last movie, The Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge spends all night being tested by spirits. What would happen if he woke up that morning, saw the sun, and then rolled over? No. The action that almost precludes real belief is stepping out, opening the window, and saying, "What day is it?" And the little newsboy says, "Are you nuts? It's Christmas Day. I still have time." And he acts on those beliefs. He submits to the Spirit's stories and saying, "Wow, you got to change your ways." I hope this season that you can submit to God's will and find your voice and rejoice in the goodness of God, just like Zechariah. Amen.